everybody. We are back for another episode of Bikes Brews, and I'm Carl again, and we have new person sitting with it. Ryan spelled wrong is?
R-Y-O-N.
Thank you.
Illiteracy was a big problem in the 90s.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Okay. So we're here again, and we are in a new location. We have a new host site. This is called Hickory and Spice. This is one of the best barbecue places anywhere in North America, and we're lucky enough to be here. Sorry, there's Rick right there. Yeah. Rick is the award winner for barbecue, and he was traveling around the United States competing in a lot of different places, and he decided to own up and start his own restaurant here in Orange, California. So it's open a few days a week. You should come on down, check it out. But their main thing is brisket.
Yeah.
That's what they're known for. And if you bite into brisket, for one thing, you better not ask for any sauce. I'm telling you that now. Don't ask for sauce. We're Ryan spelled wrong.
Purists.
Purists do not want sauce on
it. No.
But yeah, I like me a good barbecue. But
sauce just distracts from the main.
Yeah, you gotta be able to taste it. You gotta be able to taste it. That I do know about barbecue.
Kind of uncultured swine wants to drown the fine brisket in sauce.
But they do ribs here once in a while. They've introduced that to keep things rolling and, you know, fresh and new and everything. And they do have beers on tap. But today we're going to dive into this lovely beer here. This is Smithwick's. I'm almost positive.
It might be Smithwick's.
Smithwick's.
I can tell by the H.
That's how it's pronounced. Smithwick's.
Yeah.
Smithwick's?
Yeah.
I was way off.
Not even close.
No, not even close. This is a red ale. Okay. I'm going to throw these bad boys on. Because this is an Irish-made red ale. Do you know what that means?
Not at all.
Okay,
please.
This is not made in North Dakota.
Interesting.
Okay.
Is it made somewhere across the pond?
It is.
Wow.
It is on this little island.
I saw a map.
Where leprechauns run around and stuff like that. I love that.
Is this what's at the end of the rainbow?
I like that.
Okay. For those of you who don't know, I don't like beer.
Okay.
I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm probably pouring this wrong, and everybody off camera is going to give me shit about it for the next 3 months.
That is, it is a darker color, a little bit of red tint. I like it. Has a nice head. What's the alcohol on this thing?
We love good head.
Look at the head on that one.
Oh, yeah.
Did you say that Ryan spelled wrong? 4.5% alcohol by volume. Okay, pretty standard. Cheers.
A mouthful of foam.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Straw,
yeah, it'd be great.
Did you
maybe
sip the foam?
Of course. Really get the experience. Yeah, I'm very sophisticated.
I thought so. O N.
So that tastes like beer.
What was your first initial? So if it tastes like grass, that has a lot more hops in it. If it's bitter, more bitter, what's your first initial take? Usually your first swig tends to be the strongest, then you kind of dive into it a little bit more. Malty, not overly hoppy.
Beer.
I'm leading you R-Y on.
So you're using words that I know what they mean.
Okay.
I could not use them in a sentence.
But this isn't super light, is what you're telling me.
No, it's a little dark because I can tell by looking at it. I can tell by the way it is.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah,
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so 1 to 10. Let's break it down for Rye on.
Yeah, it's tolerable.
1 to 10. Let's start over again. 1 to 10.
Let's give it like a 6.
Oh, wow, that's way down here. That's like a D.
I would potentially finish this with enough peer pressure.
Okay. It's not spring break, sure it's off, but I'm gonna give it an 8. I like it.
I like it.
I do. I get a lot of snowman.
I feel like you shouldn't be allowed to use a 7.
Upside down L.
7's. You're just trying to be nice to things.
Seven is right here, right?
But the problem is like 7 is right here. 6, everybody's like that's a D.
Yeah, that you gave it a D.
Yeah, I did.
Okay, this is an 8.
because it's beer.
This is an 8 for me. Like, I'm not going to write home about it, but I like it. I could drink these. Yeah.
Okay. Sure, I'm not offended by it.
Not quite sure it's off. All right, topic for today.
Bicicletas.
Bicicleta.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about types of bicicletas. Mm-hmm. Let's start things off with road, because that's where the history goes further back.
All right. What side of the spectrum do we want to start on?
I don't know. We could start as far back as you want to go. We can go all the way back to penny farthings.
I mean, do you want to go the super arrow, weenie, whatever, or do you want to go?
Let's just see where this conversation takes us. How about
that? Meandering tale.
Let's start with steel, because that's what Tour de France.
Is it real? Is it real?
It was real back in the day. That's what they did Tour de France in. Okay. One speed.
Some campy Cambio Corsa.
That was later.
Oh.
And the first campy ones were on the rear, and they actually manually
had
it on the seat stay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember
before that, you got to take the whole rear wheel out, flip it around. Mm-hmm. You'd have one cog on one side and another on the other.
See, you do though. I'm impressed.
I read an article once.
Right on, Ryan. Cheers.
Okay. Knowledge.
Mm-hmm. So for a long time, then they started going to friction shifters.
Yep, before indexing. Before you could actually
You can feel it click, 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 click.
Which sometimes you miss that.
Fine-tuning your shifting.
The first bike I ever rode was one of my dad's. It was an old Univega with Campy on it. And it was not indexed at all. Mm-hmm. And I remember...
Friction shifters?
I remember finding out real quick that you could overshift and fuck yourself right up.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was... Wow.
Dropping an big F word.
Sorry.
Wow.
I wasn't aware of Mr. Rogers.
Well, it was a lot easier back then because there was only like 6 or 7 gears too, so it was a lot harder to miss a gear. The teeth were bigger, the whole bit. The gearing was like a lot crazier. Yeah. People used to believe in mashing it. I think back then it was like 54, 44 on the front, and like the back was like 13.
Yeah, and they wouldn't eat while they were riding.
Yeah.
Unless it was a steak and red wine. Carry
extra tires around their neck because they couldn't get any help. That
when
kind of
men
stuff.
Were men.
Yeah, that's a good point. But they'd mash it. It would be like 40 RPM, 30 RPM.
I'd rather die.
Yeah, I know. That was not the raddest.
No.
Anyway, so that evolved, 80s. And let's talk about geometry now. Everything at this point, before that, early days, it was slacked out because it was stable and everything.
Yeah,
everything got more aggressive as racing.
The forks that are curved towards the end where it kicks the rear wheel out in front because all the geometry was real steep to
stable.
Try and slow it down.
They're riding on gravel roads and everything. Remember, those are the original gravel bikes, so you had one thing for everything. You know, the roads weren't that rad.
Which is wild because the brakes on those things.
Horrible.
No.
You would not stop.
You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they had this curve to it because that gave it some compliancy. Almost like having
compliancy. Is that like complacency?
No, it's not.
Okay, damn it.
Okay. Cheers. See? Party.
They get them so messed up.
Pinky out.
Pinky's out. Okay, then we started to get closer to the modern era when things start indexing. By the way, when you're on the down tube, nowadays people still refer, I don't know if they did in those days, refer to it as suicide shifters, because you take your hand off the steering wheel and reach down and shift.
I have bars on my bike. I don't have a wheel.
Steering bars, thank you.
Handlebars. If you will.
Yeah. Because your shifters were not incorporated into your brake levers.
Yes. Wasn't until early 90s with the Shimano STIs.
Was it early 90s?
I think it was early 90s.
I think Shimano invented that too, by the way.
Yeah, that was the STI.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Shimano total
trickle-down technology. Yeah, I like that. Indexing the whole bit.
Yep.
So that was kind of a game changer.
Yeah. It also absolutely killed gear cables.
Yes.
Until... somewhat recently.
If you remember, your hoods are like here that you usually hang on to, and then the wires would come out this way out of the hoods. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you look at old footage from then,
I remember I was 4.
But that's when things started changing. Wow. Okay. I learned on suicide shifters. That's what my first bike. My first bike was a Peugeot steel bike. Mm-hmm. Bikes were evolving. Roads were getting better. And so with racing, bike geometry is getting more aggressive. More aggressive angles, steer tubes, seat tubes, everything is getting more upright. When you have a more upright steer tube, your steering gets twitchier, more responsive, everything. You know what I mean?
But they would balance it with longer stems and typically a lot of saddle to bar drop. The fork would have a lot more trail to it with that kind of swooping
Yeah. So fast forward a little bit, and they start introducing aluminum bikes, carbon bikes. You know, people start messing around with geometry. Then there started being adherence. You know, you started having specific disciplines. You know, there was cyclocross, which is more slacked out. But in between that, they started introducing bikes that had slightly slacker geometry, you know, for races like Paris-Roubaix, mm-hmm. you know, where they had to have that stability and compliance and everything going over the cobbles.
Yeah.
And
no, and then I think that's when you started to have more, the public started to realize they didn't want the same bike necessarily that people were racing. So you started to have different, you know, a divergence in the model ranges from different brands. So
well, I think the bike brands were making them for the racers to use in different situations.
Yeah.
And the public was like, I want to use this for everyday riding. It's much more comfortable.
The specialized, the Roubaix.
The Roubaix.
Yes.
It's named, that's where the name comes from, Paris-Roubaix race. So anyways.
You'd never know otherwise.
Yeah. And they took that, and then that evolved into what we know nowadays is the gravel bikes. They've continued that slack going off-road and everything.
The Diverge.
The Diverge.
From the Roubaix. Well, vocabulary.
And then simultaneously what was happening in, like, what was this, the 70s when the mountain biking started happening?
I don't remember. I was negative 20.
Oops. Older than dirt over here.
They had beer when you were around?
Well, this guy was even before a fetus.
Yes.
I was riding. And guys were taking cruisers and going up to Mount Tam.
Oh, yeah. Smoking coaster brakes.
Smoking coaster brakes, because that's the way you did it. That turned into, you know, started the initial concepts, what we now know today as mountain bikes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So with mountain bikes, of course, just like everything else, you got to have a zillion different subdivisions of it. You know,
before, I'd say it's worse than road.
Well, yeah, by far. But there is a lot more variety of terrain. I'll give them that, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, at first it was cross-country. Use that for everything. That basic geometry of a hardtail, 26 wheels, inch wheels.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, did they even call it a cross-country bike, or was it just a mountain bike? Because that was early, like, Rockhoppers.
Yeah, the Specialized Rockhopper.
Gary Fisher stuff.
Yeah, yeah, all that kind of stuff. That, yeah.
I read about it once online.
My brother actually has two rock hoppers in his garage hanging from the ceiling.
The most vintage thing I have in mountain bike stuff is
in my
parents' garage is one of the Amp Research mountain bikes.
Oh.
With the real early horse link.
And, nice.
And like the precursor to the dropper post, which I think was called the power post.
You know, I started riding actually probably before you're born.
Yeah.
Mountain bikes. And I had the V brakes and cantilever brakes and stuff when I learned on. And I still have this bad habit to the day, because everybody's like, oh, you hydraulic brakes, use your finger. I still use with my right hand too, because that's your rear brake.
Okay.
And I know it's a bad habit, but like, you had to have more power. Those things did not stop you. So I was like,
yeah, the first time I got a mountain bike, thankfully we had disc brakes.
Okay.
And I don't want to know what it's like to ride a cantilever brake on a mountain bike.
Yeah, that's sketchy. Especially mountain bikes, you get weather. You get, you know, water on the rim. It got even dicier, but, you know. And tires weren't that rad. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, because that, nah.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm good.
But it was interesting to see, because, you know, that slowly evolved. Then you had, you know, started getting more discipline. Same thing. Cross country hardtails, then you had downhill, you had
the
trail bikes, and all
of
that stuff.
Full suspension
with, at the beginning, elastomers and bushings for pivots and things like that, before bearings even.
Yeah, because didn't Cannondale have a head shock?
Yeah, I remember.
Or it
that.
Was into the steer tube, but kind of inverted of like what the.
It was above the fork.
Yeah, right. It was at the fork
crown.
Yeah.
And it was like right before the head, so it would kind of go like that. They call it a head shock.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. Instead of before the lefty. So let's wrap this up. But, well, recently in the last 10 years, 29ers became big, everything like that. Mm-hmm. And that affected the way geometry is and everything. And
that was right as I got into cycling, kind of, because I remember when I was looking around at all the bikes, it was everything had a different wheel size.
Yeah.
And
it's confusing. And still is today.
And if you were new to it, you just sit there and look at it like, okay, well, what's the right one?
You know, that's
and
a,
then
that's
everybody a, has an opinion.
Everybody does.
And
mullet bikes, 29 in the front, 27 and 5 in the back. 26ers, you know, I mean, dirt jumpers are still on 26ers.
Isn't, no, BMX is primarily 20s, right?
20s.
Okay.
Yeah. But we should wrap it up. I think we covered a lot of ground.
Look at that.
Look at that.
Progress. Cheers.